Amen. Once again, thank you, praise team. If you will take out a Bible now and turn with me to Acts chapter 6. We are going to be looking there in just a second. If you did not bring a Bible with you, there is one located in the pew rack in front of you, and you are welcome to use that Bible. We would really like it if you followed along with us as we look at God's Word and read it in a moment together. Acts chapter 6, that's in the New Testament, follows the Gospels, and turn to that in chapter 6. We're going to be looking again at our series, which is defining what the church is. What is the church about, and how to understand how to be the church? Because we here at Parkwood, we believe that the Bible clearly tells us that God doesn't want us just to go to church, just to do church or do things that are religious, but God wants us to be the church. And if we want to know how to be the church, how do we do that? And so it's appropriate at this time to not only look at it, because there's so much misunderstanding in our world today about what the church is, but also the fact that in the book of Acts, when the church first came together, it's important to go back to the beginning and see what are the essentials. Obviously, church can't look the way it looked 2,000 years ago. We're 2,000 years later. We've got all kinds of things going on, and society is a different place. Different people, different things, different priorities, different borders, countries, politics, everything. But there are essential ingredients on how to be the church in any time, whether 2,000 years ago or this very day. So what are those? Those are the things we are trying to learn through this series. So one of the ways that we do that is that we are looking in God's Word in the book of Acts, which we'll look at in a minute. But first of all, just to once again identify some of the misconceptions of the church. What the church is not. It's not a building. Although we call a church building a church, that's not what the church is in the Scripture. It's not a country club of a bunch of people who like the same things, look alike, dress alike, and do and play golf. It's not a country club, okay? It's also not an escape. For many Christians, church see the people see the church as a way of escape, getting away from the world. It's our little safe haven. The church is never that in the Scriptures. It's a place where we come and we encourage one another, and then we go out. It's never a place where we hide. It's not a burden. It's not a burden that's filled with rules and regulations and things, do's and don'ts, and things like that. That's not what church is. It's also, though, not an option. And as Jesus called the church into existence, and we believe that that is what the Bible says, that Jesus formed the church to be the body of Christ. And as he did that, it's not an option. It's not something that we can say, well, religion is something that's between you and God and you and God alone. Our relationship to God is extremely personal and intimate and is between you and God. But the way that fleshes out in the world is clearly understood in Scripture, that it does it in the body of the church, not by yourself. There's no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. And so that's why it's important to find out what is the church. And so right there in your purple sheet, you can take that out if you'd like to follow along and just kind of track where we're going. We find that there is a definition in the Bible of what the church is. Simply put, it says that we are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of the Lord in this world around us. We are the way God communicates. He has chosen to, it says in Scripture, communicate his love and his redemptive purpose through the church. Through the church, through us, you and me, together, we are to give the message of reconciliation to God. And the basic parts of that definition are laid out there before you. It has to be the church for it to be a healthy body. The head has to be Christ. A church whose head is anyone but Christ, if it's the pastor, if it's the council, if it's the deacons, if it's whatever, it's like a headless horseman. It is unhealthy body. The Scripture says Christ is the head of the body. We follow him. It's also includes a lot of people, individually gifted, unified believers, commissioned to give the message of Christ. There's some references there. You can look those up when you get home if you haven't done that before. But basically, each week we want you to be able to take that definition straight from the Scripture, what the church actually is and what we're called to be. So as we've gone through this process, we're working through Acts chapter 1 all the way to today. We're in Acts chapter 6. Now we're not hitting every single verse or every single chapter, but as we do it, we're finding some of these essentials. And they're listed there before you as well on that purple sheet, so there's no misunderstanding. First of all, a church has to have a clear vision, a clear mission. And that is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, I want you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses. It's simple. It's very simple. We have to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. We are not called to, as we've said before, feed the poor or clothe those who are in need or have world peace. That's all part of the results of it, but it's all in the name of Jesus. We are to give testimony to Jesus. And the fact that Jesus wants us to feed the poor is a great thing. And so we do that. But step one, have a clear mission. Also, submit to the Spirit. We are guided by the Spirit. We want to give testimony to Jesus, not in our way, but in the way the Spirit asks us to do it. And we want to get involved, personally involved, step three. And get involved in a church, get involved with Christ personally. Doing ministry in step four, which is meeting needs in the name of Jesus. That's the difference between ministry and humanitarianism. Ministry and just being nice people. Because there are groups, clubs, country clubs, other things that go out and do great things in the name of loving humanity. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to do those things, yes, but in the name of Jesus. And we had that example given in Acts. And then also we encounter opposition. Not everybody likes it when we do that. They love ministry, but they don't love ministry in the name of Jesus. And because of that, we saw last week that Peter and John were thrown into jail simply because they healed somebody, did good things, but they said they did it in the name of Jesus. And the opposition, which happened to be the leadership of the church, believe it or not, said, you can do those kind of good things. You can heal the sick and you can feed the poor and you can do all that, but don't talk about Jesus. And if you do, you're going to be in trouble. They said they had to do it. And so they prayed for the boldness, praying for the boldness to stand for Christ. Now today, we go to our next step, another essential, because this is essential to being the church. And that is a simple phrase, shared responsibility. Everybody has a place, we've been saying that, in the church of God. If you believe and call upon God as your Lord and Savior, you are a part of the body of Christ and an important part. And you have something to give. You actually have responsibilities and you're called. Now, let's look at chapter 6 because we find where this is really fleshed out and there's a great illustration, Acts chapter 6, and we're just going to read the first 7 verses. So if you have your copy of God's Word, follow along with me. If somehow you didn't get one open in time, you can look on the screen above. Let's read Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained that the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and they said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on the tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you have spoken through your word, just by what is written, we pray that this moment, this event that occurred in the first church would inspire us as your church today. Lord, that it would give us some instructions on how we can be the church and better be your disciples and witnesses for you. Lord, it is our desire to take a step closer to you today, to increase our relationship to you and, Lord, with each other. So open our hearts and minds as we look at this story, as we try to glean from it some truths that will help us be more of what you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I love this because it gives us a pretty clear view of what happens when a church is growing. And so it's very applicable to us here at Parkwood as we continue to grow, as we continue to become more diverse. This is what is happening in the church right now. In this particular passage, in Acts chapter 6, we saw 3,000 people come in one day. And we saw 5,000 people come the day that Peter and John were thrown in jail. And this church is growing. I mean, you know, 5,000 people coming forward at the end of the service. We're going to be here a while, folks. Hopefully you don't. You know, I mean, this is what we're looking for. We're looking for great revivals like this. And we think, awesome, if we could only have church like that today. And we do see growth. But here's the thing. When things are going well, please hear that today. When things are going well, when things are growing, when things are changing, when God is moving, there's still problems and challenges. Aren't there? Let's call them what we put in the notes there is growing pains. You know, you grow. There's some changes. There's pains that happen, and there are challenges that we need to address. And we have found that here, as we've already talked about, with the affirmation of new deacons and looking for additional staff to help with some of the programs and things that we're doing. As we continue to grow, we have to make those kind of decisions, and we have to all pitch in. It is something, because the challenges are we've got more people. Back here in Acts chapter 6, they had more people coming. They had more needs to meet. They had more opinions, right? They had more diversity. Yay! These are good things. But all of those things can also bring along some things that we have to deal with, that we have to find out. How do we minister to this many people? And so the situation is simple. The situation is that there were some Grecian Jews. You heard the story already. You read it. And there were some Hebraic Jews. Now, the difference is, simply put, I mean, it's very descriptive, I know, but there were Greeks that lived in the day of Jesus that had converted to Judaism, converted to Christianity, which was a part of Judaism at the time. We forget that sometimes. And then there were those who had already been Jews, that were born Jews, that they'd been sort of raised in the church, you know what I'm saying? And so they knew, and so they knew each other, and there was that. So that's the home crowd. And then there was people that didn't always look the same or speak the same language or feel the same way, and they were coming into the church. And so naturally, because naturally we are as humans, there was a little bit of an oversight. Some of the Grecian Jewish widows were being overlooked when food was being distributed. Now, there's a lot of people. We've already talked that there's at least 8,000 in this particular Christian community. 8,000. It'd be really hard to know everybody's name, wouldn't it? Be really hard to know everybody's need. Be really hard to make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed. The disciples were overwhelmed. And in this particular situation, there was a ball dropped. That's not good. It's not good. It doesn't say that it was necessarily anybody's fault. It just said there was an oversight. There were things being left undone, and so people raised the issue. Friends, sometimes what do we have to do when the issue comes up? We have to address it, don't we? And that's what the disciples did. They didn't say, just a few of those widows, they'll be all right. We got 8,000 people. We don't care. You know, what's that, 10, 12 people? No, that would have been bad, right? But they said, okay, let's take care of this. And so what we have here, I think, is extremely important to be the church, is we model for the world what problem solving is all about. I love it. All right? So let's look at a few principles that I believe are right here in Scripture that can help us be a better church as we grow and encounter growing pains and help us give a better testimony of the kingdom of God. Number one, problem-solving kingdom style. We are all on the same team. You know what? One of my favorite things to say is, hey, folks, we're all standing on the same side of the field here. You know, we're not opposing people. This isn't, okay, Grecian Jews versus Hebraic Jews. Hebraic Jews, 1. Grecian Jews, 0. They're going to win. It's not like that. Now, many churches are like that. There's contentious groups within the church, and they feel like it's them against the world. Or some churches, like us, we have 2 worship services, and 1 worship service against the other worship service. You know, they have maybe have friendly competitions, but you hear a lot of talk like us and them. We don't allow that to happen here at Parkwood. It's not us and them. It's all of us. We're all on the same side of the field. We're all wearing the same jersey. We're all cheering for the same team. We all are on the kingdom side of things. And you know what? When we lose track of that, all of a sudden challenges that come with growth become problems that stop growth. You understand? Because it's in the unity of knowing that we're all on the same team. When we start there, problems and issues and things, challenges that come from being from growing can be taken care of. But if it doesn't start there. Now, you say, well, doesn't that just make sense? No, it doesn't, because that's not how the world handles things. When a problem comes up in the world's way is to cut out the opposition, outshout the opposition. We see that in our society. In fact, the world's way, if there's a problem right here in Acts chapter 6, the world would say, you know what we need to do? We need to start the First Baptist Church of the Grecians, Hebraics, you know, Hebrews, Grecian Hebrews, and we'll have a First Baptist Church of the Hebraic Hebrews. That way we'll all get along. Isn't that how we do things? Right? Let's just split up. We can't get along. We got to do something. Let's just split up. That's how the world handles it. That's how the church handles it many times. But God says, no, you're on the same team, and you got to start with that. And if you start with being on the same team, then you got to work it out. You don't have an option. You work it out. Why? Because that's the beauty of growing in character with the Lord. So not only are we all on the same team, but number 2, we have to realize that we're all different. We have different needs and different giftings and different things that we got to do. One of the things that the disciples said right here is they said, you know, there's a few guys they're teaching and preaching and doing the praying, and like I said, 8,000 people. They said, man, we are working just to get all the Bible studies organized and all the things organized and everything. And now we've got this complaint. I don't think we have time to do it all. We're wired to do this, not wired to do this. We need to find some people who are wired to do this, servant-minded people. And so we're all different. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul put it like this. It's just so clear. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. We are all different. We celebrate the fact that there is diversity among us, that God creates us all uniquely. And that's important to realize when you're problem solving. We all, not only are we different, but we all need each other. We're all needed. That's the third point. We are all needed. Just because you're different doesn't mean you're not needed. You are needed. In fact, in that same passage in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, it says this. It says, starting in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker or indispensable and are parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. It goes on to talk about, Paul says, a body has many parts. They all work together. Every part is important. Last week we talked about, you don't think small parts of the body are important? Tell me that the next time you hit your finger with the hammer. All of a sudden, the most important part of your body is your fingernail on that finger. And it's like that when you kick the bedpost, when you get up in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, a little toe becomes very important. Okay? So the parts of the body, each one is needed for the things that are going. So we all need each other. But now, I do want you to see that although they are looking for people with different gifts in this section where they have these challenges, there are some common things necessary. Can I list those for you? Because these are really important. There are common things necessary. You say, well, we're all different, so I can complain, I can do this, I can be, you know, I'm naturally a jerk, so they must need a jerk here, you know. I think there's probably some people who think that, you know. They just need somebody that really complains well, and I can do that like a pro, you know. Okay, well, wait a minute, because there are ways to be different in a spirit of unity. And look at this. Number one, they have a good reputation, okay? It says, find people with a good reputation. These are people of courage. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. Wow, we've had this whole reputation thing going on the last couple weeks, haven't we? With Petraeus and all that stuff. Oh, friends, you know, first of all, this is talking about, though, somebody who has character. That you know, we've got character. We're trying to follow Christ. We have courage to step out for Him. It says that they're spirit-filled. It means that you seek God's will. You're spirit-filled. You're not directed by your own heart or your own selfishness or your own needs or your own desires. You're willing to be spirit-filled, spirit-led, seeking God's will above your will. It says, pick guys that are full of wisdom. Now, we might already have forgotten why they're getting these guys, raising these guys up. You know what it is? To serve tables. Well, how many of y'all could serve a table? Oh, everybody goes, I can serve a table. Okay, well, see, there are some things that are necessary when we're working in the church together, even to serve tables, even to clean up, even to vacuum the carpets, or open the front door and say hey, or to hand out a bulletin, or to show up and rake leaves on a Saturday. What? Well, man, we're all working together here. We got to have a good reputation, be spirit-filled, full of wisdom, which means compassionate, willing to work. If they're willing to work, you're willing to work. You know, some people say, well, I've got a lot to say about the church, but they don't want to be a part of the solution. They just want to point out the problem. And they have to see the bigger picture. In other words, they have to be able to cooperate with the other team. Do you play well with others? It's the question they asked you clear back in kindergarten. It's the way Jesus talks about the church. Can you play well with each other? You know, that's something that's frequently a problem in the church. Nobody wants to play together, but we're on the same team. And then we're called, number four, we are called to do what we do best. What are you wired to do? I've often said from this pulpit, and we believe it here at Parkwood, that we're not only a place that provides you an environment where you can come to know Christ better, but where you can find out what God has wired you to do, and you can do it so that you can be fulfilled. You say, well, what is it that God's wired me to do? I don't really know. Think about the things that give you energy, that fulfill you, that don't aren't a burden to you, but give you joy. And that's important, an important way to identify, just one way to identify how God works through you and what you're wired to do. Sometimes we find out from other people. So it requires the whole body to do this. It requires the whole body to work together. And in Acts chapter 6, we just see a small example. But I also want to say this, that there's three things to point out, and that is each person in the body is called by God. You are called by God. Not by the pastor, not by a committee. You're called by God to take part in the body of Christ. Only you know what you're called and wired to do. Sometimes others can point it out. Hey, you seem to be really good at this. And maybe that'll highlight it for you. But it is up to you to realize you are called by God. You are created to be a part of His kingdom work. Another thing is that we're confirmed by the leadership. You've got to be on board with the way things are going. You know, there are other churches. There are places where a church has a specific vision. Our vision is pretty simple here at Parkwood. But of course, if you want to come and you don't want to be a part of sharing Christ with the kingdom, you don't want to be a part of showing, of feeding the poor in the name of Jesus, you don't want to be a part of things like that, then you need to, maybe you aren't fit to serve here. Because the leadership prays over, the deacons pray over these folks, just like our deacons that we're nominating even this time, this season. You know, confirmed by leadership. And then affirmed by the people. Affirmed by the people, commissioned by the church. In other words, that's the affirmation that you check on the box for these deacons. That you would say, we have these celebrations once every 4 or 3 months or so. 4 times a year where we gather and we say, here's what God's doing. We vote on a budget. We do things like that. Why? Because we're a democracy? No, that's not really why. The reason that we do it is because God's will is confirmed by the church. God speaks through the church. You know, the key thing is that people that serve in the church are unified. Unified and sharing responsibility. I remember, now some of you might not remember this, but a few years back, I'll bring up the Redskins. I know a kind of sore subject for some, but right now. But we got this new player. He was pretty much a star player, but it was really weird because his name was Deion Sanders, and he played for Dallas, of all people. He played for Dallas. He was great, but we got him. Well, Redskin people hate Dallas, and here comes this guy from Dallas to play for us. Wait a minute. You know, not everybody bought into that. You know, he came and put on the Redskin jersey, but we knew who he really was. The Dallas spy. The guy who was gonna just throw a wrench into everything. And it took a while, and maybe it was even more than he could overcome. But this guy, Deion, played for us, did good, did okay, didn't last. Because pretty much it was really hard to get used to somebody who was on the other team to play for our team. And that just shows how there is something to be said for that affirmation, for us to come together as people who are unified, as people who are, that it's confirmed by not only our actions, but by our involvement in church, that we have a shared responsibility here. Okay? We have a shared responsibility. All of you, it takes all of you to make Parkwood what it is today. And that is important. And I love the end of this. The final verse says, it says that the final verse we read, verse 7, says, gives the results. It says the word of God spread. They handled this problem. They took care of it in a godly manner. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples, it says, increased. Oh, come on, really? We already have 8,000 people. Where are we going to put these folks? It's just going to cause problems. And then my favorite part, I love these verses. There's about 3 of these verses in the whole Bible. The priests became obedient. I love it when the preacher gets saved. You know, that's when you know revival's going on. You know, it's like, wait a minute, what did I just read? Oh, God. And when the preacher goes down, you know, man, God's moving. Even the priests are becoming obedient. And you know, there is power in testimony when people deal with diversity, when people deal with problems in a way that glorifies God, the world stands up and notices. And we need to show that in the way we deal with things. Speaking of that, we are going to come to the table now, and I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward, because we are going to observe